Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us this book full of truths. And we just pray that tonight as we turn to it, that you'll open up our hearts and that you'll open up our minds. But mainly that you'll open up our spirits, that we might be able to receive what you've got to say to us today. Well, it's been quite some time since I last spoke. And happily, I'm now going through a period of time where I'm not feeling ill anymore. 2 or 3 months, no pain. Still doing a lot of sleeping. But if you're sleeping, as long as you're not sleeping because you're dead, if you're sleeping, it's going to be doing you good. So as long as it doesn't last a long, long time, I'm going to be content to sleep, and somebody's going to be in detention if they're not careful. Was it you? No. Yeah. Right, we're going to start in Psalm 84. This message has come about. Some of you are probably aware that Jerry Savelle died earlier on this year. Around about April, I think. And one of the messages that he used to speak about, he used to talk about being in the Valley of Baca. And I started thinking to myself, well, we know that he talks about the Valley of Baca, but what exactly does he mean? All I can remember him saying was, oh, it's not a nice place to be. So I thought, well, I guess I need to do a bit of investigation. So, Psalm 84. Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts. My King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness, for the Lord God is our sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Do you like it there better? Is it better? Okay, so we're talking about the Valley of Baca then. The Valley of Baca was not a pleasant place to be. And we've all had experiences that take us through the Valley of Baca. It's a place, as we see in this psalm, it's a place of weeping. I'm sure most of us have had a days when all we've wanted to do is cry. Things have not gone right, or we've lost somebody, or just the pressures of life are getting on us, and all you can do is cry. I know a number of years ago when my mum passed away, at the point of her passing, I had a breakdown, because it was as if all the stresses and all the years and years, and I mean I looked after her for many, many years, and other relatives too, and it was almost as if my body was saying, thank God that's over. But then everything else went to pot, and I didn't cope very well. And the only reason I knew I weren't well was because I'd get up in the morning and I'd be thinking, why am I crying? I'm not upset. Why am I crying? Why am I in tears? There'd be days that I'd come to church and I wouldn't actually come into church. I'd sit outside in the car. I wouldn't come in. I made the effort to come, but I just couldn't do it. The Valley of Baca, place of weeping. It's also a place where you can be miserable. We all know that we don't go all the way through the day sometimes where we're all on cloud nine and we're all very happy. Sometimes we get miserable, don't we? Get depressed, get fed up, things don't go our way or things go wrong. No, a few weeks ago I came home because me and my sister had been going out, about a couple of weeks away. And I came home one day, it's like, why's my freezer door open? So I opened the freezer door, stuff's all melting. And I thought it was because the door was open. So I closed the door, went out, came back 4 or 5 hours later, opened the freezer door, everything's still mushy. So you know what you're starting then, don't you? Oh, that's all I need. So then, of course, I'm having to move stuff out of... Thankfully, I've got a freezer in the garage. So I moved all the stuff out of the freezer in the house into the freezer in the garage. And the funny thing is because it's a fridge freezer, I left it turned on so that the fridge still worked. And the fridge was still working. 2 or 3 days later, I thought, I've got some ice pops in the freezer. I'll take them out because they're not getting frozen. I opened the freezer door. They were all frozen. So I don't know what my freezer was playing at, but it's now working. The Valley of Baca can also be an emotional place. Sometimes we get emotional about things that are going on around us. You know, some things might go wrong with your family, your friends, your neighbours. You get upset, you get emotional. You're back in that Valley of Baca, place of crisis. You can't afford what you've got to pay your bills for. Don't have enough food in the house. Your kids have just been arrested. Your next door neighbour's house has just gone up in smoke. You've got a crisis. You're having to deal with things. You're out of your comfort zone. You're in the Valley of Baca. Some of you are aware that for about the best part of 12 years I've been in pain. I've had bad problems with my legs, my hips, my back, all sorts. But like I said at the beginning, for the last couple of months, no pain. You know when you're in pain. You know that you're not in a happy place. You might put a brave face on it, but you're not comfortable. There's nothing worse than having pain. Prove it to you. If you get up in the morning with toothache, you're not going to be happy. Pain is not a nice thing to experience. Similarly, going out into the desert places where it's arid, there's lots and lots of scenarios that we can consider as being the Valley of Baca. And the thing about the Valley of Baca, sometimes it's the devil that drives us there. And he drives you into the Valley of Baca, thinking, right, get in there, now I've got you, you're trapped. And the devil takes you into the Valley of Baca, or coaxes you to go into the Valley of Baca, think, right, now they're in there. Now they're out of the way, aren't they? Wrong. Because the Valley of Baca, the devil might want us to stay, but God will bring us through. It says in verse 6, as they pass through the Valley of Baca, it doesn't say they go and live there, make the home there. Nobody wants to make the home in somewhere where they're not happy. And if you're not happy where you live, move. If you're not happy in your job, get a new job. If you're not happy in any circumstances, if you can do something about it, do something about it. Sometimes you'll have to ask God if it's the right thing. If you're going to move house, ask God first. You know, big decisions, you need to consult God as well. But God will always bring us through the Valley of Baca. Like I say, 12 years of pain. You're thinking, dear God, all that time, God brought me through. And God will bring you through whatever situation and circumstance you find yourselves in. Because God is not in the business of putting you in a situation that you cannot manage, that you cannot cope with. And again, turning back to what we read in verses 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools, and they go from strength to strength. You're in the Valley of Baca. You're going from pool to pool. You're going from strength to strength. Each one appears before God. The Valley of Baca is not a permanent place. Don't set your tents up. Don't move in. Don't get yourself all comfortable in the Valley of Baca. Get yourself through it. Get yourself out. Get God to let you know what is going on. Get God to guide you and lead you through. Doesn't last forever. It's not where you live. It's not a place that you go to spend your holidays. As I said, I've just had a few weeks off. A few weeks away here, there and everywhere. But I've come back. I've been and I've come through. And that's the same thing with this Valley of Baca. You'll go through things, you'll have experiences. Some of them will be good, some of them will be bad. And the thing is, you might go through the bad experiences, but even when you go through the good experiences sometimes come to an end as well. You have to come through the good experiences. Sometimes we just have to live life and not look for experiences, not look for feelings, not coming to church thinking, oh, I didn't feel God, maybe he wasn't there. Wrong approach. You know, you come to church, I came to church today, and I'll use Joan as an example. I've spoken to Joan. But wouldn't it be stupid if I was to go home tonight and say, well, Joan was there, but I didn't feel her. Do you think she was really there? I didn't feel her. I mean, you think, what a stupid thing to say. You can see that she's there. I don't have to feel her to know that she's there. And it's the same with God. Sometimes you don't feel him. We're always in his presence, whether you feel it or not. And sometimes it's just a case that we've got to disengage this, because your Christian life is not run up here. Your Christian life is a spiritual life. And the minute you stop thinking about your spiritual life being based on your feelings, the quicker you're going to start growing in God. Because it's not about how you feel, it's about what the Word of God says, and it's about your approach and your sincerity in becoming a believer and being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It has got absolutely nothing to do with this. A number of months ago, Anne and Grace were speaking, and there was something that I think that they were reading and they didn't understand it. And I don't know what, I mean, it was obviously a God thing, because it was not something that I mentally said. And, well, I don't read it, I don't understand it, maybe I should read something else. And now I heard myself saying, read it, because when we read our Bible, it's not for this, it's for this. It's not to encourage our brain. Your brain's going to get you in a lot of trouble. It's to encourage your spirit. And God will minister through your spirit and by his spirit. So we trust God as we come out, as we come through the Valley of Baca, and we come out stronger. We're standing on the word all the time, and we will come out of the Valley of Baca with a strong testimony. We come out of it full of faith, we come out of it rejoicing, and we make the devil sorry that he messed with us. I know when I was at school, I gave the students a little motto to learn, and I told them, 4 words, each word, 4 letters. You need to obey this motto, you need to pay attention to this motto. It will stop you getting detentions, it will stop you getting into loads of trouble, and all you need to know, don't mess with miss, because you will not win. You just don't mess with me. And I say that to the devil as well. Don't mess with me. Because if you start messing with me, devil, I will go after you. And I'll win. Because I'm not quitting. And I think I proved that. 12 years of pain and I'm out of it. And some of you would have given up. Some people give up. They get through it, they think it's painful, they think it's uncomfortable, so it's like, oh, I've had enough, I'm not doing it, I give in, I'm quitting, I'm not going to be a Christian, why should I bother? Doesn't work. Then engage that again. David, when he was round and about, in Psalm 3, In Psalm 3, David said, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept, I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. People will try to talk you out of your belief. And sometimes even professing Christians will say things that are a little bit misguided and, try and talk you out of it. Somebody will say, oh, well, I remember Mrs. So-and-so. She believed God and she died. And so-and-so believed God and has been standing on faith and they're still sick. Well, so-and-so, he was believing all these great things for his business and it went bust. And these two over here, they were all happily married and then they got divorced. This faith thing doesn't work. Wrong. David heard all sorts of junk in bad times. Do you remember the time when David and his warriors had been out fighting war and then they came back home? And when they got back home, they discovered that the houses had all been burnt down, the wives and children had been taken, all the goods had been spoiled. Do you think David was happy that day when he got back home? They'd just come from a great victory. And well, you know when you're on a great big high, how quick something just a little like something going wrong can suddenly destroy your attitude. And one of the things that we've got to be careful of is when things go wrong, that we stop talking about our problems. The more you talk about your problem, the more you dwell on your problem, the bigger your problem's going to be. Talk to God about your problem and then shut up. Because as you concentrate on it, that's going to fill your mind. And that's going to keep you awake at night. Give your problems to God. Let God sort it out. You need to talk about your covenant with God. We've just read in Psalm 3. David said, but in verse 3, he said, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. Gone through bad times. My wife and children have been taken away into captivity. My house is all gone. It's just a pile of rubbish. All my possessions have gone. I've got absolutely nothing. Just the tatty, dirty clothes I've been fighting in for all this time. I've got nothing. But he put his faith in God and he turned to God. You are a shield. You are the lifter of my head. When you're going through difficulties, don't look down. Lift your head up. Look up. Psalm 121 tells us to look up, don't you? Lift up your eyes unto the hills. From whence comes your help? Your help comes from the Lord. Sometimes when we're going through difficulties, all we can see is the problem. Get your mind off the problem. Get your eyes on God. And you'll find that your problem disappears. Might not change the circumstances straight away, but whatever's got your attention's got you. Your problem's got your attention. You're going to be miserable. You're going to languish in the valley of Baca. You're going to be fed up to the back teeth. But if you've got your attention on God, you're coming through that valley. You're coming through and you'll come out victorious. Don't stay there. Come through. Psalm 6. Very tuneful tonight, isn't it? Psalm 6, verses 6 to 10. This again is David. I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed. See, old David and all his men were distraught. But have you noticed in the Psalms that David might start off with a whinge and a moan, but at the end is always speaking victory? We need to tell God what our difficulties are. We need to talk. Sometimes it's good just to get it off your chest. But don't keep repeating it. When you've got it off your chest, keep it off your chest and focus on God. So David and his men then, they were all distraught. They'd lost everything. And how easy it would have been just to sit there and cry and moan. And they did do that. Welcome to Baca. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. But what did his men do? His men didn't encourage themselves in the Lord. His men got on to David. David's already down and troubled and disheartened and lost his family, feeling terrible. Then his men start getting on at him. It's your fault. And then they want to kill him. Sometimes it's not great being in charge, is it? It always stops with you. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we've got to learn to do that ourselves. We've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. It doesn't say in here that God came and encouraged David. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. It didn't say, and I went to church, and the high priest encouraged me in the Lord. Or for us, I came to church and the pastor encouraged me in the Lord. And it's good when they do. But you've got to get to a place of maturity when you encourage yourself in the Lord. You've got one of these for a reason. And if it just stays on your cabinet all day and every day and only gets an airing when you put it in your bag or your pocket to come to church, you're missing it. This is here for a reason. It's to feed your spirit. And the more that you feed your spirit, the stronger that you'll go. If you don't put anything in, nothing comes out. If you don't put any food in your natural body, you'll soon get weak. And it's the same with your spirit. You don't feed your spirit's going to get weak. You need to feed your spirit. So David encouraged himself. One of the things that I noticed when I was going through this, if you remember in Genesis, every time God created something, it says that the evening and then the morning were the first day. Now for us, it's the morning and the evening, isn't it, usually? But in Genesis, it talks on all of them. It says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And I'm sort of thinking to myself, well, that seems a bit weird, the evening and then the morning. Probably just a different cultural thing. Then brain kicked in. The evening is dark. The morning is light. So the evening, we come through the evening, and then we get the morning. So we go through our day. We start off in darkness, and we go through the day in the light. The evening and the morning, we're going forwards towards the light. And then just a few thoughts that we had. I had then that when we're thinking about God, that God is our shield. And the shield, when we have a shield, we put a shield up to protect ourselves so that nothing comes through. We see the police when they had these riots, they'd all got the little plastic shields up to protect themselves. And God is our shield. God is our protection. We also read, don't we, that if God be for me, who can be against me? The answer is nobody can be against you. They might try, but if we are dedicated to God and we have committed ourselves to God, if God is for us, who can be against us? They might try, but we are walking in the path that God has created for us. Might sometimes be a difficult path, but we're going through that path with God in the path that He's prepared for us, and we will come through it at the other side. We come through it. So when we've got David here, and his men's wanting to kill him, and he's miserable to start off with, David did the most sensible thing that anybody could do in those circumstances. David then asked God, what do you want me to do? God, everything's gone wrong. They've carried my wife and my children away. They've burnt my house down. They've taken all my goods. Oh, God, what shall I do? Right question. Only God knows what you need to do. We might want to solve the problem ourselves. I've just been having a ding-dong with the electricity company. I've been sending emails backwards and forwards. In the end, I got quite sarcastic. I said to them, I says, you know, we're going round and round in circles. In fact, we're going round and round with these emails, faster than my electric meter's going round and round. I need you to put me on to somebody that knows what they're talking about, and we'll pay attention, and we'll actually read the entire email, not just pick one line and tell me that you don't understand it. Within 2 days, I had a bigwig on the phone, the problem's now resolved, and I've got my 22 quid back. Don't take money out of my bank account, please. Not unless you're entitled to it. But you see, the thing is, initially when I started on this, you know, it's like, I know I'm right, this, and this. And then I did what I should have done at the beginning. Before I picked the phone up, Lord, you know what's going off here. I want somebody that knows what they're talking about and is smart, that's got a brain in their head. And then I spoke to this lady, problem solved, resolved, gone. Thought to myself, yeah, you missed the trick there. You should have prayed about this a fortnight ago. Then you wouldn't have been emailing day and night and getting frustrated and cross. But sometimes you just have to stand up to the problem. So David had to stand up to the difficulty. God, what do you want me to do? And God didn't say, oh, well, it's there to try you. It's there to teach you a lesson. Didn't say that, did it? David wasn't told, oh, well, it's going to be difficult. God said to David, pursue. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to pursue. Sometimes we have to go after the people that are trying to mess us around. Sometimes we have to go after the companies and stand up for what's right. But please make sure that you've got your facts right and that you're going in the right spirit. Because you might miss an opportunity to witness if you get bullshit. You know? It's all right being bullshy on the phone. I know my rights. You'll do as I say. This, and this. You want to keep your spirit calm. Because you never know. You might just have somebody at the other end of the line that's open to the gospel. And we've got to be ready, no matter what happens, you know, to be right. My next door neighbour, a couple of days ago, lost her phone. She rang it. She wandered around my house, she wandered around her car, she wandered around her own house, she went down to the community centre where she'd been, she went into a couple of shops that she'd been to. The phone wasn't ringing, nobody had handed it in. I said to her, I says, right, we're going to pray. We're going to send out them looking angels to find that phone. God knows where it is, and he'll find it. And I'm thinking to myself, oh dear God, what have I done? Oh Lord, why did I say that? The next morning, she's knocking on my door. I says, what's the matter? She says, you'll never guess what. I says, what? Do you know I was ringing phone all last night, we didn't get any answer. I says, yeah. She says, look. And it was on a car seat. That phone was not on that car seat the night before. We'd both looked. It was not there. Not only had we both looked, we'd both run our hands on it. It was not there the night before. I don't know how God did it. Don't need to know how he did it, but God can do everything. He can dematerialize it. I mean, Star Trek have got absolutely nothing on God. You know, I mean, you watch these works of fiction and you think, oh, if only that were true, it happens. Have you not read in the Bible how people were transformed? Translated from one place to another. And a translation is just a case of moving from one place to another place. You get translated. Sometimes when we think about translation, we just think about language, translating from one language to another. But it also works for movement as well. You could be moved from one place to another. So David didn't stay there and lick his wounds. He moved, he pursued. And when they pursued, they recovered all. Got his wife and children back. Some might think, oh dear God, I think want my wife and children back. You know, sometimes having your wife and children can be a nightmare, but no, they're yours. And whether you like it or not, it's your wife, it's your husband, your children. You're responsible to each other. You're a family. And God works in families. They pursued it and they recovered all. They got everything back. Sometimes, you know, when we're going into these situations, we just get so miserable. And we get in this place of this valley of Baca, and we can't see any way out. And when you can't see any way out, that's the time that you need to get more in here. You need to spend more time in your word. You need to get yourself here. I know for quite some time I've not done Wednesdays, mainly because I've been fast asleep. Since I've been getting better, one of the side effects that I've experienced over these last 12 months, I've been getting better and I'm getting stronger. I mean, Mick might soon be redundant. You might not even need to cut my grass. I might even be well enough to do my own soon. You know, I mean, I'm doing more in the house. I'm physically finding myself getting stronger and stronger. And as you dwell in God, you will get stronger and stronger. And one of the big things for me at the moment is I'm doing a lot of sleeping. I said to Sir Pauline on Sunday, Andrew's put me down to speak on a Wednesday. I've not been on a Wednesday for months. So if I'm not there by 7 o'clock, get your phone out and ring me. I'll put the phone at the side of the bed. Then if I'm asleep on the bed, I'll wake up. If I'm in the living room, I'll put the phone at the side of the chair. I'll keep the phone close. And so she's been ringing me tonight and I've not been answering the phone. There's a good reason for that. If it weren't in the car, it were at the side of the bed. And some of the other things that we can do, we need to crack open our Christian tapes, our Christian music, our Christian messages that we've got. Get yourself soaking in the Word of God. You're not going to find your answer on the television. I got blessed a few months ago, my television broke. No TV. And because it was sort of June, July time, it didn't matter too much because there's no match of the day in June and July. There's no American football in June and July, so I didn't really care. And then it started getting a bit closer. But one of the things I learned in 3 or 4 weeks when I didn't have a television at all, before my lovely friends provided me with one, one of the things I learned was I didn't miss it. Put the television on in the morning, you might watch the news, and then you don't turn it off, and the television's on all day, and you're not watching it, but it's on all day, and you might not be watching it, but you can hear it, so you know what's being said. And sometimes, you know, what's on during the day, give me a break. You know, if I sit in the chair to watch daytime television, you sort of channel hop all the 300 or 400 channels that you've got, and then when you get to the end, you've still not found anything worth watching. And I found that I didn't need it. And the bonus of it was because my television wasn't working, I cancelled Sky. So because I cancelled Sky, saving quite a bit of money there, then I got my electric bill and discovered that my electric bill had gone down by £20-30 a month. And the only change was no TV. It's a plasma screen and they are more expensive than the other one. Well, it was a plasma, it's not anymore. But you see, the thing is, what we need to do is we need to learn to encourage ourselves. Encourage yourselves. Don't focus on your difficulties. Focus on what's going on. And notice how we were going through this valley of Baca. One of the other things, you know, we're talking about it, so we're talking about coming out of Baca. When we listen to the TV and when we listen to people, we've got all these weirdos that want to tell us all, look, oh, well, we're coming out. You're right. Oh, I've come out. Really? Well, let me tell you this, Christians, we've come out as well. And we've come out from among that lot. We've come out from amongst them. We're called to be separate. We're not called to put up with the garbage that the world foists on us. All this ridiculousness that they're talking about. All this demonic stuff. Don't do this. I'm a they, them. You're a what? You're a weirdo. I identify as a cat. No, you identify as a lunatic. Some of this stuff that people are identifying as is so ridiculous. And the thing is that sadly, some of these people believe what they're saying. What is the world coming to? What is going on? All this deception. Some of these tattoos that they've got on. Somebody was complaining the other day, they won't give me a job. They said that they won't give me a job because of my tattoos. I looked at the face and I thought, I won't give you a job either. In fact, I'll tell you the truth, I'm finding it very difficult to look at you now because I can't stand the way that you appear. You look stupid. You know, God did not create us to have nice faces with blue pictures all over. He didn't draw us to have massive pictures all over our bodies. He brought us to represent him. And the way that the world will see that we've got Jesus is by the radiance of our face, by our appearance, and by the way that we conduct ourselves. I had a colleague at school, and when I was moving house, I gave some of my furniture to my colleague and her husband, and they just come over from Jamaica. And we went to the house to offload the furniture, and we gave them. Me and Andrew sat in the front as we were taking the, gave him a lift into town. I says to Andrew, if Ethan is not a Christian, he ought to be. He's got a lovely spirit about him. He said, yeah, he has. He says, I was thinking the same. I was thinking to myself, if he's not a Christian, he ought to be. Well, because of course he starts working at the school with his wife, me not being nosy, said to him one day, so, do you and Denise fancy coming to church with us? Oh, no, he says. Thank you, he says. But we go to our own church, he says. You know, he says, I don't know if you know, he says, but we're born again. He says, my wife's not quite as keen as I am. He says, but I'm born again. He says, I love the Lord. And I thought, yes, and I chose. It shows. The enthusiasm that was on his face, you know, you could see that it was different. You could see that it was different and that it had made a difference in his life and that everything was... Are we still... And it made a difference in his life. Yes, no? Or have we broken it? So are we doing okay? Yeah, I can hear it again. So we don't wait for somebody to do it for us. We need to engage with God for ourselves. Yeah, there are times that we'll need to help and get other people to help for us. It's good to get other people to pray for us. But there are things that we need to do. And just in winding up, these are some further thoughts I had. In Luke 19:13, we are told to occupy until he comes. Sometimes it's not a case of going through. Sometimes it's a case of standing still. You need to stand firm. Don't be pushed about. Don't wander off here, there and everywhere, hunting for the next exciting thing. Stand firm. Get the ground claim that's under your foot now. Don't keep looking for the next exciting thing. Stand firm in what God's got for us. And we can do that because in 1 John 4:4, it tells us that he who is in us is greater than him that's in the world. The devil might think he's got it made, and all these little demons might think that they're so smart. Not as smart as my God. Not as smart as you when you put your trust in him. Psalm 91 tells us that if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, he will cover and protect us with his shadow. He's going to cover us and protect us. The one that we famously consider as people misquoting Psalm 59:19, getting the comma in the right place. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord lifts up a standeth against him. The flood is the Lord, not the devil. It's the Lord that comes in like a flood, not the devil. The devil's not strong enough to come in against us like a flood. He might think he is. He thinks he's great. It's just to show how deceived the deceit can be, doesn't it? Nobody's as great as God. And then we read in Mark 16:18 and in Luke 10:19 how we've got authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Now, don't know if I'm telling tales out of school, but Anne found a little place where little witches have been messing around in Armthorpe. And we people that live in Armthorpe don't tolerate witchcraft in Armthorpe. So we've been standing against them, haven't we? I said to her one day, I said, you know what you need to do? Just take some oil and go and anoint it. And things have been happening around there, haven't they? And the witches have been disappearing because we're not having them. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we do not allow him in our neighbourhood. He can clear off, he's not welcome, and neither are his witches. And when it comes to Halloween, don't start bothering us, don't start knocking on our doors, don't start trick-or-treating round us, because if you could start knocking on my door trick-or-treating, you might find yourself sat down with a Bible. I'll tell you what spirits are around our thought, and that's the spirit that we're going to have. We're not going to have the witches, we're not going to have the demons. We're going to have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is going to be raised up in Armthorpe, and it's also going to be raised up in Intake, because we're here. It's going to be raised up. It's only going to be raised up, though, as we do our part, and we pray, and we stand firm, and we pursue the things of God that God has told us to do. Sometimes, you know, it's easy to get busy with church programs, and, you know, I read a heck of a lot, and you read these books. 7 steps to a successful prayer life. Really? I can give you 1 step to a successful prayer life. It's called, I have a problem, I tell God about it, and God sorts it out. That's all you need to know. Because if you start working it out, and you start applying formulas to your spiritual life, well, if I do this, this, and this, you are not going to manipulate God to resolving your situation. And that's what it boils down to. Well, God, I want this, 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 and this. And God might say, oh, you might want it, love, but it's not going to do you any good if you get it. So God won't let you have it. And then you start, well, I prayed about this, and God didn't give it me. Just think about the problems that you might have had if God had answered your prayer. Sometimes God's answer to your prayer, he answers every prayer. Sometimes his answer is no. But we don't like to hear that, do we? So we carry on praying until we get our own way. Well, let me just let you into a secret. Don't waste your time. If God says no, he's not going to change his mind. So we've got power over the enemy, and we're going to keep it that way until he's cleared up altogether, aren't we? One of the greatest things is that there's power in the blood of Jesus. We sing that song, don't we? There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And you think, well, there isn't. I mean, if you cut yourself, what power is there in your blood? The thing is, it's what the blood represents. Jesus shed his blood that our sins, our sicknesses, our deliverance, our provisions, everything be made. And it's all because Jesus died and shed his blood for us. The only person that could have made that sacrifice. And let's remember that we're never alone. He's always with us. Even when we're going through the difficult places, he is with us. You are not alone. God wants to know what your problem is. Because he already knows what it is. He wants to know that you know. And then he'll see you through. So let's get through that valley. Don't stop in it, don't park in it, don't get grumpy, don't get mardy. Get through that valley. Come out at the other side and let's show the world that what we've got is the answer that they're looking for.